This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices, united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
Well, Shaggin' everybody, welcome to the final podcast, the Orange Bloods modcast, but the final podcast that I think any of us will be doing during the course of the 2020 year, unless someone's going to get active before or right after this is over with. Welcome. It is the Orange Bloods podcast. Myself, Anwar, Dustin, and Jason. No Alex today, taking care of some family business on the last day of the year. So it's just the four of us, fellas. And there's a lot to talk about. The Longhorns Alamo Bowl champions. Again, they Tom Herman, 4-0 in bowl games. Longhorns don't just beat Colorado. They beat them into next year. Win by 32 points, and now we're left to talk about the aftermath of a game left us with a lot of talking points and a Texas coaching situation that remains a little bit of an Elmo shoulder shrug, in that I don't know that I have any clarity at all as to what where we are right now. So Anwar, Dustin, Jason, welcome. Happy New Year. Here's to, I'm sure we'll do more New Year's toast at the end of this thing, but here's hoping that 2021 gives us more than 2020 did. Anwar, I'll go to you first. We did a podcast yesterday. You can listen to the Your Drunk Uncle podcast over on the Yak. We've got it up on our socials. Anwar will probably pin it to the top of the board on Orange Bloods at some point today. You and I went through a lot. Is the elephant in the room more today, Casey? Like, what do you think most people are talking about today? And maybe not just on Orange Bloods, but the Texas Longhorns universe. Did Casey Thompson do so much the other day that he's the buzzword right now, slightly more so than Tom Herman? Or is it always going to be Tom Herman first, no matter how ridiculous any player could play in a single game?
I feel like the conversation still centers around Tom Herman, because, you know, you get on Orange Bloods and there'll be a contingent of people that say that's a great performance that the new coach will be able to build on, and at least the new coach knows there's some talent in the room, and there's still that belief that in this universe that Tom Herman is still going to get fired and let go after a 7-3 season, and after winning, you know, another bowl game and likely finishing in the top 15. There's still people who think like, all right, well, when's it going to happen, and when's all these things going to come together? So I think the Tom Herman conversation still ends up being on the top. I think Jason and I have been really consistent with saying it, that all sounds good, but let's see it happen and let's see it play out, because until it happens, neither one of us believes that it's going to happen. And it sounds great to say, all right, you're just going to fire a coach that gave you winning seasons, even just because you didn't get to a Big 12 championship game. It sounds interesting. And then when you say certain things, you know, you get feedback on the board and people push back on you and, you know, have snide comments or whatever it's going to say. But what we have to see, Ketch, is at the end of the day, are the big money people willing to put that money together? Because it's easy to spend someone else's money, Ketch. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's very easy to say, oh, $35 million. Those guys got it. Go ahead and get rid of, you know, they'll go ahead and spend. And it's like, it's easy to say when it's not yours. But let's just see if that's how they feel. And let's see at the end of the day, Chris Del Conte, a guy who doesn't like to fire anybody. Now this is the time that Chris Del Conte decides to slam on the table and say, I'm going to fire someone. So for me, it's that's still the biggest topic, is what happens with Tom Herman.
Okay. I thought so, but I also didn't want to be, we'll start off with this Herman conversation and then we'll get to the players. It's just that it's possible that we'll get into the Herman conversation and we'll stay there. An hour will go by and then it'll be like, let's rush through the game. I did a podcast myself the other day where literally that kind of thing happened. I found myself just talking and talking and talking about Tom Herman. Jason, we'll go to you. So this is the Tom Herman Texas coaching. At some point we have to draw a line and
football.
Yeah. Because and I only say that because there actually was some really interesting football stuff from the bowl game. If I think if it had been the game that we all thought it might've been, this whole thing, we just probably skip over the bowl game like we kind of skipped into it, right? It was like, hey, it's Tuesday. There's a bowl game. How many people know that? But it was, we'll get to that. Jason, I reached out to a source of mine last night. Somebody, and I, and Anwar and I have kind of this joke because he's getting ready to go to Mexico and enjoy a little downtime while he can for the new year. Yes. And he'll have his computer and he'll be able to like communicate. It's not like the old days where you'd leave the country and then you're just, maybe if you're like on a ship, maybe you can't, you're like, that. I don't know.
But even they have Wi-Fi nowadays.
Yes. But like, he's going to go out of town for a few days and presumably we're all hoping that like nothing will shake down. Wait till Anwar gets back at the very least. But I reached out to a source and I was like, hey, do we need to be on pins and needles? Like, can we go enjoy New Year's? Or if anything happens, is it going to take some time to unfold? And response back was, haven't heard anything. And I told Jason, I told Anwar just a second ago, I don't know that I believe that, but it's also entirely possible given that all the recency of everything that's just happened. So I toss you the grenade. Just kind of your thoughts on, you know, Anwar had kind of his opening shot on this place that we're in now that the season is over. And now it's like, okay, now what? Now what to you, to the now what?
Well, hey, remember Del Conte's statement, or after his statement, he said, yeah, Tom Herman will be our coach in 2021. Well, hell, that bell rings at midnight tonight. So should we be on guard at 12:01 tonight? I don't know. You know, I mean, does that mean he'll be the head coach of the football season in 2021? Or
Jason, you said you've never seen The Godfather, right?
No, never have. Don't spoil it for me.
just so you know,
I'm gonna watch it.
In one of the, I won't even like tell you which one. There's a Godfather movie where stuff happens
at 12:01.
New Year's. Well, is all I'll say. There's a New Year's scene in the Godfather movie trilogy, and it's funny that you would say that because I was watching it last night.
I said that when Del Conte released that statement, and then he followed up and said, oh, he'll be our coach in 2021. I'm like, well, does that mean January 1, 2021 or October 1 will he still be the coach? But, you know, I don't know. Anwar said it. He and I have kind of said this openly and to each other. It's like, you know, I was hearing whatever, six games into the season, Tom Herman, I heard from some people, Tom Herman's gone. I don't care if he wins the Big 12 championship. And then I would say, yeah, that's easier said than done though. I mean, you know, let's see what happens if he actually wins the Big 12 championship. Well, that didn't happen. They lose to Iowa State. We all think he's pretty much done for sure at that point, but man, I mean, you know, it sounds, I'm kind of straddling the fence, but these things, these stories always have a lot of moving parts and people should understand that by now. We've been covering it long enough to know that things can change in a hurry. People laugh at us for using language like, you know, right now, or, hey, this can always change, or, you know, this is what we're hearing now, or blah, blah, blah. But
Jason, fluid is the one.
Fluid. Exactly. That's the one I couldn't grasp. Thank you. Fluid. This is a fluid situation. So, but you know, 7-3, he should have been 8-3. The easiest game on the schedule, aside from the season opener, got canceled. So they would have been 8-3. I mean, no, it was not the season, obviously, that Texas expected. And I think even the coaching staff would tell you, no, it wasn't what should have happened. They should have been in the Big 12 championship game, but a convincing bowl win against a crap opponent. I get it. Colorado wasn't good and they had their own issues with their roster. But so you take all that into account. It's like, how do you fire a coach who just won his fourth consecutive bowl game? They won, you know, 70% of their games. And the weirdest part coming out of that bowl game, and we'll talk about it more, like you said, Ketch. I mean, there is more optimism coming out of that bowl game than there's been really all year about this program almost, you know, with the way Casey Thompson played and just the way some of this young talent is playing kind of sprinkled across the roster. And hey, what can Casey and Bijan do together? And how about this defense that's played well with a bunch of young players getting thrown into the mix? So we're in a weird place. I mean, to fire Tom Herman tonight or a week from now or a month from now, whatever it would be, it's going to be a tough, tough sell, I think, for a lot of people, just with the way I think that game and the way that game played out changed the perception of this program the perception of the future of this program enough where it's going to make it a really, really tough decision, as if it wasn't a tough decision before. So, you know, I sent y'all a DM the other, was that just yesterday? I guess my days are blending together, from a guy who said, hey, you know, he's hearing that they probably won't fire Herman. And then I was texting with the guy last night. He goes, I heard it doesn't change anything. I think Herman's still gone. You know, it's all third hand information to some degree. So, you know, I guess that the bottom line is I don't know what to expect. I just know that decision, if they want to make a change, it got a hell of a lot harder after Tuesday night. And, you know, Tom Herman, I don't think he's going to have a whole lot of say so in that eventual decision, but he can sit there and kind of stand on the soapbox and say, hey, yeah, you know, COVID kind of screwed us up. And, you know, I used to think when he would talk about the COVID issues, about, hey, we didn't have spring practice and we didn't have a regular fall camp and new coordinators. And, you know, and I think we all kind of said this, okay, that's kind of sounding like an old excuse. We're tired of hearing it. But now I look back and I'm like, you know what? Maybe there was some actual truth to that, because this team has played better down the stretch. You have to take into account the opponents, but they, regardless, you know, I said this, and I'm sorry, I'm bouncing all over the place. I said this to someone yesterday, and they're like, I said, man, they beat the shit out of Colorado. And he goes, yeah, but it was Colorado, and that's a bad team. And same with Kansas State. That shouldn't change anything. And I said, well, you're right. I get it, man. Kansas State was bad. That team had given up. Colorado was not a good football team. But you know what? Texas did what it's supposed to do against teams like that. It just beat the living crap out of them. Texas teams in the past might have played those games pretty close for whatever reason, just played down to the competition. We've seen this Texas team do it against Texas Tech this year. We've seen it, you know, do it over and over again. But this Texas team, you can say it was crap competition, and it was, but this team did what good teams do against bad competition, and that just beat them to submission early and pretty much put the game away early in the third quarter. So as I kind of just wrap all that up, the bottom line is, Ketch, I don't know what to expect. I just think that decision got a lot harder after Tuesday night, and you're going to have a hard sell. I think the fan base, I mean, if we're just looking at our board, and Anwar mentioned it, okay, yeah, oh, the new coach has some young talent to work with. I don't think the fan base still is ready for a change, but the people who make those decisions and have to live with the financial impact of those decisions and actually, you know, communicate those decisions to Tom Herman and the other coaches and know that their decisions impact a lot of people's lives, that's going to be a tough decision when they put their heads together, if they haven't already put their heads together. I don't know what the answer is. I just don't know what the answer is. And I'll be poking around just like everybody else and anxious to see how the next couple of weeks play out.
Jason is someone who bounces around all the time and like says 10,000 things in one question.
Is that what it feels like?
Yes. No, I was going to say, welcome to the other side. I'm going to try to put the harness on, because I want to go to Dustin. And what I was always going to say is we're going to come back to a lot of that.
Hey, and one more thing. Too bad Alex can't be here, because we'd all be, or me in particular, I was going to kiss his ass on today in the poor Bathication.
Oh, he is missing.
We can save that for the new year.
He's missing
he's got an entire offseason coming up where he can just say, man, Casey Thompson.
He only gets it one time from me. So, you know, I will give him his due when we have it.
We'll talk about that later, but I couldn't even remember what our bet was. We'll get into that later. But anyways, go ahead, Ketch.
So I want to harness this back in to get to Dustin. It's funny because Anwar was like, poor Dustin. Don't worry, Anwar. I'm thinking of Dustin. Dustin, here's how I'll set up what ultimately is kind of your opening set of thoughts as well. We're still there, right? And then, like I said, we'll probably bounce back all over the place with this Herman discussion. What's really interesting to me is – there wasn't any really Herman discussion about his job security during the game. And that, you know, as I was looking at post-game stuff and AP article and ESPN, you know, I'm just reading content on the game. Other than like a blurb at the bottom of the Statesman, Herman's job security as a piece of what happened didn't really exist. And it just kind of occurred to me that we know that next season when it starts and the hot seat articles are written, that Tom's name will be on them. But as it currently stands, outside of some of that Urban Meyer stuff from only a very few people, like this is kind of an internet thing right now. This is our site. This is other sites. They're talking about this, but it is not a very mainstream deal. It is not what the newscasts on TV are leading with every night. It is not what they're doing it, obviously, in radio, but the newspaper is not covering this. The Statesman is not covering the Texas football program right now like there's a job thing hanging over the program. So it just occurred to me as we get ready to have this Herman conversation and you get ready to do your opening Herman thoughts, it does feel a little, I don't know, the way sometimes people talk about the internet. I just wonder if when this thing's all said and done, and if Tom Herman returns in 2021, if history will frame this as the internet was just doing internet things back in 2020, because here's Tom Herman back again in 2021. This is a little weird. I don't know that I've ever quite lived this.
Yeah, I don't know if I have either. And I think part of the reason why is from a national or even kind of more of a somewhat of a local perspective. It's hard to have that conversation after the bowl game, the way it played out, you know? And I think that through that first half, I that was what the conversation was going to be. You can't convince me that if Sam Ehlinger stays in that game, the full game, that was going to be a one score late kind of a game. A lot of the conversation would have been about Bijan Robinson's lack of touches and the same old stuff and can't put away an inferior opponent. And I think it would have been a bigger piece of the conversation. But with the way the bowl game played out, it's like I could understand why some people kind of look at that. It's like, how am I going to just start talking about that immediately when they just won a game 55-23 and they're probably going to end up close to being a top 15 team again. So yeah, it's as we know better than anyone else, like, you know, we kind of cover things more intensely and finger on the pulse than, you know, maybe the national, the regional type of perspective. But it's becoming obvious that, you know, those outsiders don't really view it as like that much of a, like, oh my gosh, we have to talk about this kind of topic right now. And I don't know how much of that is a Del Conte statement one, statement two, statement three, when he finally clarified what he wanted to say. I'm not quite sure if it's the bowl game or whatever. But yeah, that is an interesting element. And I'm like, you know, Anwar mentioned it and Jason mentioned it. I had people telling me after the Oklahoma game, this dude is done. No chance. He's coming back or whatever. And now I'm just like, I wrote this yesterday. Like, I don't know if Texas has the guts to do it. You know, we've been hearing for months about how he's on thin ice and he's not going to come back and it doesn't matter how this plays out or whatever. It's like, well, you know what? By not making a decision during the season after the Iowa State game, you've kind of allowed Tom Herman, this is a comparison I made yesterday, kind of allowed Tom Herman to have his Shaka Smart moment last year, where Shaka Smart was dead in the water after the Iowa State loss. They went up there and lost by what felt like 90 points, and he had guys injured, and I think they were 14-11 in the league, and it's like, oh my gosh, this team is terrible. And sure enough, he rattles off five straight Big 12 wins and that buzzer beater at Oklahoma. And it's like, oh my gosh, you know, maybe he's going to come back with the financials and everything else. And that's kind of how the Alamo Bowl felt to me. Like, it's not the same thing. Football obviously matters way, way more. It's got more influence on the finances, both the donation money and the money that comes in from the, you know, ticket sales and everything else. We know football is the giant that runs the athletic department. But it's, you know, by not making a change during the season, they've kind of allowed Tom Herman to refine his footing. And, you know, they've strangely come out of the 12 game with, like Jason said, some optimism that hasn't been around the program during the year. And it's like, okay, like that's kind of what you guys are going to have to deal with now is when you're evaluating this decision-making process and the financials and everything else. And you can't convince me that the people that make that decision aren't at least a little bit influenced by the way the season ended. Now, the fans on orangebloods.com aren't. Their mind's been made up for a long, long time. But I think if you look at it from how these people that ultimately make these calls, how they decide these things, you can't convince me that how the Kansas State game happened and how the bowl game happened, you know, with this unforeseen, shocking wrinkle. Station is not about Sam Ehlinger leaving. It's about like Casey Thompson, you know? So I'm like on wire and Jason. I don't know what's going to happen. We've heard for so long and all these people talking about how a change is going to happen no matter what. And until it happens, I just don't know how much I believe that. Because now we're getting to the point where they're going to have to eat all of that money and try and make a change with a coach that's probably going to finish around the top 15. And now can kind of point to his a quarterback situation that's at least a little bit more promising than it was heading into the bowl game.
Hey, Ketch, can I piggyback off of what Dustin said?
By all means.
I wanted to just interject two things. Like, I think Dustin's 100% spot on, because Tom Herman, like, and I can tie in what Jason even said as well. You know, Tom Herman can now say, you know what, we didn't have the offseason, we didn't have all these things, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? Things started coming together at the end of the season. I mean, he can literally point to saying, hey, we scored 124 points in two games, you know, it combined. He could say, like, we have scored 69, nearly 70 against Kansas State and 55 against Colorado. And so, you know, we who follow it will be maddened by the Bijan lack of touches and all these type of things. But he could say, look, at the end of the day, I mean, we were kicking people's ass. And so, you know, you're going to fire that. The other, you know, you're going to fire me over that. He can literally say, you know, lost three games by, you know, 13 combined points, you know, an average of 4.3 in a loss. So there's some maddening. And again, it's not to say this guy is the second coming. Is it worth $35 million? Like, that really becomes the question. You know, is right now that the main thing is it's a recruiting, and recruiting is that's the main thing you're talking about. That's a struggle. And here's the other thing I thought you brought up that's really, really interesting, you know, and I won't name this person's name, but I did talk to if I mention him, everyone knows it's a well-known national college football writer. And we were texting back and forth and we were talking about the whole coaching situation. And you know, the whole Urban Meyer was, you know, the Pete Thamel article, he texts me and goes, all right, well, you know, Tom's definitely said, because we all know that Urban has a good connection to Pete Thamel. So, you know, if Pete put that out there, then we all can deduce where it likely came from. And he says, so it looks like, he goes, so I would guess Tom is safe. And I was like, no, it looks like they may be focusing on another candidate. And he goes, and his response to me was, Jesus, Texas is always looking for something else. And he goes, do they want to do it this year? Probably after the bowl game. He's like, fucking Texas is just unreal. Perspective. Okay. So this is not, you know how things are, Ketch? But, you know, when things are in your house and then, you know, someone from outside looks at it. Like, and so from, you know, this I think what Texas fans need to also understand from a national perspective, people are going to look and say, this is unreal. He looked up Brian Kelly. He actually texted me at 11:35 PM. He goes, Brian Kelly has never scored 55 points in a bowl game. He's like, what is Texas doing? I'm like, dude, I don't know. So, you know, so it's just, so when you talked about like outside and media and this and that, this seems to be a very Texas based conversation more so than a national perspective. And I've talked to other national writers who really think that this place is kind of wackadoo. And again, don't get mad at me. I'm just talking about what it looks like from the outside looking in.
I wasn't going to go here, but it's a perfect segue, so I will. I think that one of the things that has happened, it's funny because Onward, you can attest to this. I've been talking about this for weeks, and I've been watching the way this thing unfolds, and there's two things at play here. There is what we hear behind the scenes from people who have a lot of money or who have access to people with a lot of money. And then there is this, the unofficial athletic director's office angle. And, you know, I wrote about this in my column on Monday or Sunday night, that, like, depending on who you talk to on a scale of 1 to 10, it's a 10 that he's gone. you talk to some people and it's like, it's like a 3 or 4. and it's like a 3 or 4 with a shrug, where it's like, you know, tell us who replaces him. Because if you can tell us who it is, and it can happen, and we can make it happen, well, then I'm interested. But, you know, this idea that we're just going to shotgun our way through this approach, like, I'm convinced that if Herman gets the axe, that Chris Del Conte has set this up behind the scenes so that the national narrative of this whole thing is what you just said. Texas is wackadoodle. And I think Chris Del Conte has framed this in a way that if Texas goes into this and they just finish Tom Herman, no matter what, history will remember this was not what Chris Del Conte wanted, and that it is going to be viewed. And look, Texas fans on Orange Bloods are going to listen to this and they're going to say, I don't care. They don't know what we know. These national people aren't on the ground. They don't know what we know. And they're going to say, if that's what it takes, then let them do what they got to go do. That's cool. And if that happens, like, I'm not even saying that they're wrong. I have been saying from the beginning that I think Texas needs to make a change. It's all recruiting based at this point. I just believe that Del Conte will have this thing framed that when the Kirk Herbstreits of the world talk about this, or they go to the Fox set and they talk about it, and it'll be really weird because Urban Meyer could be sitting on that set. They're going to talk about this, not that Chris Del Conte didn't make a change. It's going to be that the people that always they write about with Texas, right? The millions of millionaires that Texas head coaches have to make happy, and what do they want? And like, it is going to be framed that Chris Del Conte was overstepped, and that meddlers have created change. And I don't even know what that means, like, long-term. I don't know how history will treat that. I can feel it in my bones that if Texas gets rid of Tom Herman now, that Chris Del Conte has worked really carefully behind the scenes, that nobody's going to go, what the fuck did Chris Del Conte just do? They won't be viewed that way at all. It'll be viewed, Chris Del Conte was pushed into doing this by the meddling fans. And isn't that just the problem with Texas? And I guess at that point, it would come down to who in the hell they got, right? Because there are some names that everybody agreed that Urban Meyer you could justify. I think there are varying degrees of justified that exist right now. And like you just said, one of those names that Texas people would go crazy for is Brian Kelly. And yet nationally, people are like, Brian Kelly, really? This whole thing is wildly fascinating. I don't think Texas fans have enough appreciation for the level of college football, like SEC-ness that they're officially in. This is what it looks like at Auburn. This is what it is. And you, Jason, you tell me. You hear all of that. What is your gut? Does it matter? Like, is this all of this just the noise? And if Texas gets rid of Tom Herman and they bring in another coach by June, who gives a shit what anybody says? Does this drama matter? Like, we're so into the belly of the beast right now. I can't completely wrap my head around where we're at because there's not any clear direction.
Yeah, there's not. Yeah, I think the drama matters to the decision makers. I don't think it matters to the fans. The fans just want change. I think there'd be some national backlash with the media. I mean, Anwar was mentioned. He talked to a national writer. I don't know. I don't know how the perception would be if Tom Herman's fired, and does that matter to the decision makers? I think it probably does to some degree. I don't think it matters in one bit to the fans. I think their minds are made up. I don't know. I don't know exactly what the question is, but I think there would be some national backlash, you know, firing a coach. We kind of ran it all down, 7-3 bowl wins, you know, scored 55 points, blah, blah, blah. There'd be some national backlash, but I think a lot of it, like you said, it depends on who Texas was able to get to replace him. I mean, if they fired Tom Herman and then had to go through a coaching search where, you know, different candidates are coming through and maybe you're told no by one or two of them. That's a bad, bad look for Texas. I mean, like you said, that you can justify if Urban Meyer was on the hook, certainly you can justify making that move. If Brian Kelly's on the hook, you can justify making that move. Although, you know, in a weird way, I don't know that Brian Kelly excites, maybe I'm just because I'm comparing him to Urban Meyer. He didn't excite me the way Urban Meyer does, certainly, but I think he would excite the fan base, but I don't know if he is just that bombshell hire that's going to, you know, totally make the Texas fans happy. But, you know, I think a lot of it depends if you fire Tom Herman. I think a lot of it depends on what happens after that. Are you able to hire a, you know, respected coach 2-3 days, a week later, that's going to, you know, people can look at it and say, okay, I understand why they did it. Or is it going to be one of these shit show coaching searches that goes on for a month and you're told no by a couple times? If that's the case, then that's a bad, bad look for Texas. And I think that is something that the, you know, the decision makers have to consider, and only they know the answer to that. They know who they're talking to. They know what the feedback has been from those people. They know if there's a handshake agreement with somebody that you know, that we haven't heard about just yet. You know, I don't know, but I do think that's all going to be a factor in how this thing plays out, is what the next step would be after. Certainly be, hey, if you fire Herman for what amounts to a, you know, 2-week, 3-week, month-long coaching search where you're looking at a bunch of different candidates, and then you get someone who's, you know, really not much better, that's a bad, bad look for Texas, and you might have just pissed away millions and millions and millions of dollars. So it's a fine line, man. It's a fine line. Those, you know, Chris Delconi and Jay Hartzell and some of those other decision makers are having to walk, and I don't envy their position because I don't know what the right answer is. I don't think any of us do. And maybe that's part of the problem, is we just don't have any clarity.
Let me ask you this, though, Ketch. If they part ways with Tom, you know, after this achievement, right? We're not saying it's a major achievement, right? But, you know, let's just say 7-3, 4 straight bowl wins, you know, and all the other things that don't count that are just, you know, consolation prizes, right? How much time do Texas fans give the next guy?
Well, that's the problem, and any new coach coming in will know that.
Yeah, I mean, because he knows, really it's really a 2-year window. You know, you get year one where everyone's like, all right, that's your kind of your rebuild year, and by year two, everyone's like, all right, what do you got for me?
Well, the cautionary tale to that is that it was in Herman's year three that he lost his recruiting pitch. So, you know, they win the Sugar Bowl in year two, it goes sideways in year three, and suddenly in recruiting, that I mean, this is the recruiting is the thing that has really made the Tom Herman ship take on water as much as anything. So when you ask the next head coach who comes in, how long do you have? He might get 4 years, but it might be that the third year delivers the mortal blow. And I just think that, you know, there will be some coaches let's just say you go out and get Dan Mullen. Cause I want to ask Dustin, did Dan Mullen become available last night?
I mean, I think, I don't know about available, but he might be at a discounted rate now.
Because, do you want him after last
night? Man, every time that dude opens his mouth, it's like, what are you saying? And then like, have you seen his defensive coordinator? Like he basically hired the equivalent of like Sean Watson, where like everybody knew, like, no, don't hire this guy. And like all the fans. And sure enough, the fans were right. Cause this dude is like, there won't be a bigger bowl mismatch than Lincoln Riley versus Todd Grantham. Like, so yeah, Dan Mullen might be a little cheaper right now.
Yes, I mean, last night was such a disaster for Dan Mullen that I feel like if Texas called Dan Mullen and said, we'll pay you $11 million a year, and then he's like, well, let me call Florida. And I think Florida would be like, cool, we understand. Go knock yourself out. $11 million a year will buy you a lot in college football. And Florida's probably thinking, well, shit, if it's going to take 11, let's go get somebody better than Dan Mullen. My larger point before Dan Mullen provided some comedic laughter in this podcast, it really comes down to who Texas can get. And the thing that I think works against Texas right now, to Anwar's point, is that if you reached out to Dan Mullen and said, come to Texas and we're going to offer you the moon, he's got to add, they're going to, too many times in college football these days, the college coaches are like, no, nah, man, I'm kind of cool here. Like taking the big monster jobs versus even Matt Campbell is kind of, has kind of bowed up against Texas, right? Like nobody even asked about Matt Campbell's availability. Nobody from Texas has seriously, I have not had one person behind the scenes say, we need to go hire Matt Campbell. And yet Matt Campbell had his people put out word that, no, if Texas comes calling, don't bother me with that Texas talk. And I was like, what? What world am I living in where the Iowa State coach is using his media connections to shit all over a job that could like pay him twice as much money as he's making right now and like give him the platform? But the Texas platform's not as good on paper as it probably used to be, because in this modern world, you can, if you're the Greek freak, you can play in Milwaukee and it doesn't change the way people think about you. And this idea that you now have to be at Texas to accomplish, like, I don't know that Mac Brown back in the day at North Carolina would have necessarily needed Texas to take that next step the way that it does now, right? We've seen Baylor and we've seen Iowa State and we've seen other programs win Big 12 championships in ways that Texas hasn't been able to in a while. It's not as easy as Texas just waving the checkbook and saying, Anwar, come be our coach. And then because it's Austin, because it's Texas, that, and I think you're the perfect person to throw this to, because you're not from here. Like nobody gets this idea that there's a little bit of an inflated idea of what Texas is right now, more so than the guy that just hasn't been here forever.
Yeah, and these kind of are the conversations that everyone gets pissed off at me about when I say it, because I mean it is, you know, you got to ask yourself if you're Brian Kelly. I think the answer is always it's Texas with everything. Well, because it's Texas. It's like, but okay, you've got to ask yourself, if you're Brian Kelly and you're in the CFP, okay, and you've already built a program up to a national, you know, you're competing for a national title. Now, granted, they're going to play Bama, and, you know, we don't expect that to end well. You got, Brian, why are you leaving? Just tell, get, okay, your assistants don't get paid as much. It's a little bit tougher to recruit. You know, those are just some of the things, but, and those things, maybe that means a lot to him, but then why, you got to ask yourself, he's making money. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like he's at Notre Dame. He's not a Sisters of the Poor. Like he's clearly getting paid. So why would he leave? Or Dan Mullen's at Florida. He's already at a place where he's already built the recruiting inroads. You know, why does he want to start over when he's getting paid and has all these things that I think the Texas job is clearly a freaking premier job, but it's also a high pressure job. And, you know, Matt Campbell can say, look, man, at Iowa State, I ain't got to worry about recruiting five stars and people getting pissed off at me if I lost to Brockenmeyers, or I can just recruit the guys that I want. My, and no one's going to get pissed off if we're ranked in the 20s and from recruiting standpoint. Everyone's just going to say, you know, well, he was recruiting his guys and we'll just see those guys develop in 2 or 3 years. You know, this here becomes a pressure cooker. And I think some people may want that and gravitate towards it, and others may not. But, you know, it's a program that has struggled really since 2009, that hasn't really been on top since in a long time. And it's a program that struggled, you know, it almost had the big fish and almost had the big fish come. And so there, I think there's hope for sure. I just don't know if it happens this year. And it's, you know, some people allege, you'll say, oh, Andre, you're just scared to lose your sourcing. I was good under Charlie Strong. Like those things don't worry me. Like I'll be okay, but it's just more from a person who's not as emotionally attached to it. I think the job is a, outside of money whipping someone, it still takes a little bit for some folks to say, I really want to take this. And by the way, when in the conversation of Brian Kelly, and I don't think this could be, you know, said enough. Brian Kelly's agent is Tom Herman's agent. And Tom Herman ain't really had the best time here at Texas. And so when Brian Kelly has to talk to his agent, he's going to tell him everything that relates to it and some of the things that didn't go well and some of the things that, you know, there's two sides of that coin. And so the question is that agent really saying, man, I want you to leave this good gig and I want you to come over here to Texas. That's going to be, you know, a little bit more challenging for you. Like, I don't know how those conversations go and how that goes down, but I don't think you can ignore that. You know, Tom Herman and how, where he is with the fan base, he's got an agent that's like, who understands this, who has conversations with Chris Del Conte. And that guy has to then go, that person has to convince his guy to come here. I don't know if that happens, Ketch. I don't know.
Dustin, who could take the job? Like, you know, who represents an upgrade from Tom Herman? And I know there will be people who will listen to this and say, everybody, but no, at some point there gets to be, well, they're equal. And if you wanted to, if Chris Del Conte wants to get in front of a camera and say, or I guess he could never say this, but if the unofficial spin behind the scenes was, we know that, like, it's not the clearest coaching upgrade of all time, that their resumes are somewhat similar, but he ain't Tom. I mean, at some point that gets to be the answer, right? To me, Sark is he ain't Tom, because they've kind of accomplished about the same amount in terms. Tom's actually accomplished more as a head coach, as far as, I mean, Sark never quite got that, any of his jobs completely in the air and like flying high. He's got background issues. And for people who were like, and look, if Sark took the job, I'd probably put a big shiny bow on it and, you know, focus on the positives and try to, right? Because we got to run a business and, you know, Sark's as good as anybody else, maybe. I don't know. But like, if you tell me, well, he's been with Urban Meyer, or excuse me, if he's been with Nick Saban, Freudian slip there, because that's what I'm about to say, it sounds like exactly what you just told me about Tom Herman, that part of the reason that you hired him was that he got greatness juice sprinkled on top of him in his time with Urban Meyer. So you're getting somebody from the Urban Meyer coaching tree. He's coached right next to the guy, the real guy you want. And then that's what this would feel like. You traded in a guy that's, you know, some sort of JV version of the guy that deep down isn't that like one of these things that if it was a shrink, it'd be like you're dating your mom kind of a thing. Like, they're going to keep hiring guys that come from the trees of the guys they missed on and so dearly want. It really does sound like a therapist kind of a thing if something like that is where your head is.
Yeah, I think that there, you know, there's the local fan perspective to look at it from, like the, you know, the people on our message board, and, you know, it's kind of just almost a change for the sake of change type of thing. Like, you know, they're going to hire somebody that's better. But if you look at it from the perspective of the people that actually make the decision, and maybe a more national perspective, I don't know how many guys there are that are like genuinely attainable that, you know, that the national people or, you know, even the decision makers behind the scenes would be like, okay, this is more of that guarantee on the box than what we have. And I'm sure that would, you know, drive our members crazy. But I think if you look at it through that lens for the people that are making this call and just kind of the whole college football landscape, there's just not many guys that are just close to that slam dunk type of candidate that would be attainable. Like, we joked about Dan Mullen, but I don't think there's any chance Dan Mullen would leave Florida. And, you know, Almar brought up Brian Kelly, and it's like, I think you just have to simply ask yourself, would Notre Dame's head coach leave for Texas? Now, I do think it's interesting that, you know, I think he's maxed out Notre Dame. So perhaps he kind of looks at it like, man, I don't know. I've gotten so close. I don't know if I can do more than that here with these rosters that I've built. Maybe I can try it somewhere else. But still, like, you'd be asking like Texas to go hire Notre Dame's head coach away from Notre Dame. Like, there's, you kind of get down to the level of, you know, you mentioned Sarkisian, and, you know, I personally would look at a lot of the top coordinators in the country, but I don't think the Texas decision makers would go that route. And, you know, are we talking about a Mario Cristobal or a James Franklin, which I would ask Texas, hey, if you think those guys are good enough and are an upgrade, like that's not going to change, you know, next, they're not going to become different coaches next year just because their records might be different. Although Cristobal just backdoored his way into his second straight conference title. But I mean, if are those your guys? And even you kind of look at Franklin's like, well, he just went 4-5. And, you know, how much do we know about Cristobal? And like, there's just, there's not, when you remove kind of the intensive Texas diehard fan perspective about, you know, we know Tom Herman better than anybody. And, you know, this guy would be an upgrade and this guy and this guy and this guy. And you kind of look at it through, like, I imagine these decision makers are looking at it from, there's not a long list of guys attainable nationally that you can just say, okay, if we can get this guy, it's clearly without question an upgrade. And I think the flip side and the kind of the problem for Texas too is it has to ask itself, is Tom Herman still growing on this job? Is Tom Herman still improving? Is Tom Herman capable of, you know, growing on this job in a way that can make him a better coach and make him a better guy running this program? There's an element to that equation too, because you get this deep into the process and you've got 4 full years of data to look at. And it's kind of like, if it's not going to happen now, when is it going to happen? And with the recruiting issues and things like that. So it's a difficult question for Texas decision makers, because if you look at it from their perspective, I don't think you're seeing just this long list of guys like, okay, we could get this guy, we could get this guy, we could get this guy, we can get this guy. And without question, when we present this new coach, everybody's going to say, okay, you hired an upgrade. And that probably pissed a lot of our members off, but I think that's just the reality of the situation. It's not a great time to try to go find a guarantee on the box. And Ketch, you made a great point about these guys. I think now more so than ever, when they get the ball rolling at these programs and they get the culture the way they want it, and they know the player personnel people, and they know their athletic director, and they know their coaches, and they know their recruiting base, it's a little bit tougher to leave that than it used to be. You know, there's something to be said about comfort. And there's also something to be said for how much is Iowa State paying a guy like Matt Campbell? You know, he's making pretty good money. He's not making Texas money, but he's making pretty good money. And a lot of these programs around the country now are, I don't know if they're better able to pay these guys, but they are paying these guys more money. That can come back to bite them in buyouts and things like that later on down the road. But, you know, college football has just been spending and spending and spending and spending. So, yeah, it is a little bit more difficult for these guys if you're not hiring a coordinator, or if you're not hiring the next hotshot Tom Herman type of coach with limited head coaching experience. It's tougher to pry those guys away that have that sort of guarantee on the box.
Hey, Dustin, to what you just said, Cristobal just signed a new deal with Oregon. It was 6 years, $27 million, kind of, you know, new contract back in like just a couple of weeks ago. So that really, honestly, for the sake of the conversation, that really says, okay, Brian Kelly, James Franklin, Sarkisian. Like that's really the pool of candidates that you would have to like go after if you were looking for a change.
I feel like,
and from the Texas perspective, I mean, if it's not somebody like Kelly, you know, I to me, I think Chris Del Conte, like when Chris Del Conte made a change at TCU with basketball, he did it knowing that Jamie Dixon was his guy. He was going to go get Jamie Dixon and he was going to pay him. And there wasn't really going to be much of a search or anything like that. Jamie Dixon had the ties to TCU. It was time to make a change to that basketball program. And like, that's, you know, bam, it was done, you know. And I've been the biggest proponent of, hey, let's not compare hires for like softball and women's basketball to Texas football. They're just different. And football is much, much more difficult of a hiring process, than those other sports. But if you look at, you know, what happened with softball and what happened with women's basketball, it was like, bam, done, you know? And I think that if Chris Del Conte is truly the guy steering this ship, and I think that remains a bit of a question. I will find out just how much he truly is the guy calling and executing the shots, because I need some convincing. But if he is, I think history tells us he's looking for the close to the guarantee that can be quick and easy and higher and done. And like you said, Anwar, you start naming those candidates, I just don't know how many of those guys are out there. It would really require Texas to dig deep on a lot of guys and then be willing to take on the risk of, hey, we'll go hire a guy. He might not have the resume of our current head coach, but we think he's going to be a better guy running this program. And we think we need to make a change because there's just not many of those guarantees out there.
Let's just do this and move on from the coaching, because we did that thing that I thought we might do, which is talk for a really long time about the coaching thing. And I feel like we could keep going. We could do this all day. Anwar, yes or no, as of today, you think Tom Herman is going to be fired?
No.
Jason, yes or no, at the end of the day, whenever it is, like before, I don't know, before the Tom Herman will be fired before, and there will be a coach next season, yes or no?
Oh, man. Before the bowl game, I would have said 70-30, yes. After the bowl game, 55-45. Yes.
He'll be fired.
Yes.
Okay. Dustin, same question. You don't have to do a percentage like Jason.
He yeah. Did that was kind of my cop out answer. So I wanted everybody to know it's close to 50-50.
If you would have asked me a month ago, I would have said yes without hesitation. Now I think I'm a no.
I'm a no as well. I'm a no as well. But I say that I don't know. I think my no is stronger than Jason's 55-45 is a yes. But I don't know. I don't know. What I do know is that if they make change, Chris Del Conte will have this thing will, it will be painted that this was a meddlesome deal, that Texas went above Chris Del Conte, and they better get the coaching thing right. Cause the one thing that could really get them in trouble if they have to stoop down to a guy is that the narrative gets painted for the schools around here that Texas had to go get a plan C, that they, you know what I mean? Like, the problem with going out and getting a guy just to get a guy is that if that guy doesn't win very quickly, or he's not an elite of the elite recruiter, the narrative around the schools in general will be, they're going to make a change in like 2-3 years anyway. This guy's not going to be your coach. And they're not established as a power, and we are. So why go to Texas if you can go to Oklahoma, LSU, Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, like whatever the case may be? Texas has to be careful. I really believe they have to make, they have to know the deal has to be done with whoever they're getting. Does anybody disagree with that? Does anybody think that they could actually fire Herman and then go into a process?
No, I think that if that was the case, it would have already happened.
Because they could have had Ash be the – here's the thing. Yep. Here's the thing real quick. And this is the thing Texas fans know, and at the end of the day will piss them off into eternity. They could have – and Dustin, you brought this up. They could have fired him after Oklahoma. And what's really interesting about what happened is that he started to build up steam right after Oklahoma. And we were talking about it. What if they run the table and get to the Big 12 championship game? And there was this feeling like, shit. They knew they had a chance and they let him out, right? But then Iowa State happened. And Iowa State happens, and that's the opportunity for them to right the wrong that some people think was made after Oklahoma, and they did it again. Right? They had a chance to do it, and they didn't.
And not to interrupt, but they didn't just chance. Like, think back to how the Iowa State game played out. What was the conversation surrounding that game? Coaching errors in the game.
It was awful.
Matt Campbell out-coached Tom Herman. That's why Iowa State won the game. Like, it was set up on a tee for those guys to say, oh, you know what? Got to do it now.
And they had a chance after the season. If they really wanted to do it, they could have done it. Even though they would have gotten some ugly headlines, they could have fired him after Kansas State. They could have put Chris Ash in as the interim head coach for the bowl game and then figure it out later. Three separate times they've had a chance to do it, Anwar. Three separate times. And after the first time, they knew, oh, crap. There does exist, like, things – we could lose the narrative. We lost it in not firing him. They knew that that happened. And they were hoping behind the scenes that he would lose again so that they could avoid losing the narrative. And then he lost again and they didn't have the guts to do it. And it does make me pick a no, because at this point, they haven't had the guts to say yes every time they've had a chance.
They've had the opportunity to do it. And, you know, we were expecting it at some point and we were thinking, okay, it's going to happen. And it didn't. And it like, to your point, Ketch, it didn't. And now they've put themselves in this corner, because I think the issue really is, Ketch, is that there really wasn't a clear-cut plan B outside of Urban Meyer. They were going to go after Urban and thought, okay, we'll just go ahead and replace Tom with Urban, and then everything is done. And then by not having a clear-cut plan B, because to Dustin's point, like, if they have all these ducks in a row, then Urban says no, but you know what? We got the second guy on our list, and we're just going to cut ties. But because they kind of hemmed and hawed, because Urban, you know, I guess eventually said no, and then the plan was, oh, well, we'll go back to him maybe after the season and then check on it without anticipating that there's a chance that Tom may win some games. And now what's happened is you can go back to him and look, if Urban says, calls whoever today and is like, hey, you don't want to come to Texas, then yes, goodbye, Tom, right? That's just an obvious thing. But if Urban is kind of putting it out there now that, hey, I'd much rather look at the NFL, and I think I'd much rather do that. And that now it's like this desperation, like, oh, now who should we get? Oh, Brian Kelly said that sounds good. Or who else is Franklin? Can we get Franklin? I don't know. Sarkisian. And it makes it look like there wasn't a clear organized plan, which has to frustrate Texas fans, because at the end of the day, Tom Herman, you know, may retain this job, and it's not retaining it because you feel like he is the answer per se, but more so retaining because they just weren't, there wasn't a well thought out process on how to replace him. And then that ends up being, getting the job because they couldn't find someone else. They didn't do enough planning in relates to it. So, if he stays, here's the thing, you said about growing on a job, and we'll get into the other stuff, right? But you talk about, this is a really valid conversation. So we're not doing Alfred Collins or Casey Thompson or anybody else a disservice. Do we believe that, you know, the football, the rotation and running back is ever going to change? Probably not. Is the rotation of receiver going to change? Probably not. So we know, is recruiting going to change? You know, probably not. Is the personnel decisions going to be make a difference? Or that's going to change? Probably not. So, you know, there are some things that we don't know. Is he going to be better? Now, I think the thing with Tom is probably he's so close that there's probably little changes that he's just not going to make because he is that, so close. It's easy to say, like, hey, you should have ran Bijan more. And then with the final score is when they drop 55, it's easy to say, well, it's working. So I think there's still going to be a level of frustration that Texas fans are going to have. And at the end of the day, he has the job, not because you feel like he's the answer or Texas fans feel like he's going to do all the good things or even lead them to a Big 12 championship. And that's what's going to lead to, a tough offseason for Texas fans, for us. and it's just, and we'll have to see what happens next year.
And Anwar, I think to jump in, I mean, if they're going to make a change, and I think Dustin said it and you kind of just said it, they have to have an agreement with someone like Brian Kelly behind the scenes or whoever, someone of that kind of stature. I've been thinking about it, and I mean, think of if they make a change, and let's say they go with someone like Steve Sarkisian or Matt Campbell, even though we've heard he's not interested, that's a 3 or 4 year commitment minimum. And what happens if they're no better than Tom Herman, or maybe the program even takes a step back? You're stuck with those guys for 3 or 4 years. Maybe he catches lightning in a bottle with Casey Thompson, or maybe even Hudson Card. I mean, I don't want to discount Hudson Card based off what we saw at the bowl game, but it's a 1 year commitment. If you bring Tom Herman back, it's a 1 year commitment versus a 3 or 4 year commitment to some of these guys who are like, maybe better than Tom Herman, but we don't know. It's no guarantee. So if they're going to make a change, I almost feel like it has to be a decision has to be made behind the scenes, or an agreement has to be made behind the scenes. And it has to be with somebody that the decision makers, Del Conte and the decision makers, they have to feel it's an all but guarantee that that person is going to be better than Tom Herman for the next 3 or 4 years. I don't know who that guy is unless, like you said, unless they have an agreement with someone like Brian Kelly. So, you know, I don't know. As I kind of talked this out, I said 55-45. I just keep going back and forth. And the fact of the matter is I just don't know. I don't know what the answer is, and none of us do. And that's why I'm so torn. I mean, one day I said it was it yesterday afternoon. I got a message saying, hey, I think Tom Herman's going to be back based on the things I'm hearing. Then I texted with a guy I trust last night, and he goes, I don't think anything changed. I think he's gone. So I think we all do. I keep going back and forth, back and forth. But as I think it out, if they're going to make a change, it has to be an agreement has to be in place, as we said, before Herman's let go. And it has to be all but a lock or a guarantee that that person is going to be better than Tom Herman has been. Otherwise, that's a hell of a risk, a hell of an expensive risk, and a hell of a time commitment for a minimum of 3 or 4 years, bringing in someone who may not be able to take that program forward or the program forward. So, yeah, I don't know, man. Tough decision. I guess my question would be, I think the deciding factor, and I think maybe Ketch said it, would be, do they have somebody on the line, on the hook to replace him? If not, then I think he does come back. So.
And you know what, Ketch, when you talk about, like, narratives – and you talked about the narrative of Chris Del Conte, like what this will look like. We don't bring it up enough, but it still has to, I think it has to always be reminded of, Ketch, that this thing would look totally different if Chris Del Conte didn't give Tom Herman an extension. The conversation.
Nobody's forgotten that, I promise.
Yeah, we don't. It doesn't come up on the board a lot.
It would look different too if he would have been talked about the football program this year. Like, that's a whole nother podcast, but that's kind of hanging out, AD head coach, what's going on type of thing.
He's never going to, I wonder when this is all said and done, if we did kill his social media game? Is he ever coming back?
He's not coming back unless unless one of the major sports is hoisting up a championship trophy or something. He ain't coming back.
He didn't even put posters up of the Whittier trophy. I mean, the statue. Like, he's just ghost. So here's what we're going to do. By the way, it was just funny to me because if the idea is they have to have a prearrangement in place to pull this, if they're going to fire Herman, it'd be real hard to have the prearrangement with Brian. Brian Kelly's the one guy on the list they can't have a prearrangement with because it would
because
he's Tom's agent.
No, hey, don't tell your other guy.
That's gonna be tough to pull off.
Yeah, I mean, you got to just at that point be ready to lose Tom because Tom would never believe you didn't know anything. It's just a coincidence that the next guy 48 hours later or 24 hours later was represented by my same agent. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to break this down into two parts because what happened is exactly what happened. So I think the coaching thing deserves to be its own podcast. We'll release this today. It's New Year's Eve. And then tomorrow we'll do a part two, which we're going to record immediately after this. So thanks for hanging with us for part one. Listen tomorrow for part two on New Year's Day. We'll recap the bowl game and everything that happened with Casey Thompson and all of the young guys on the team and kind of give them their own due and not bury them an hour into the podcast. So thank you for listening to part one. We'll do part two for you tomorrow. Later.